The text is the gospel reading from St. Matthew chapter 15, reading from the 21st verse. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession." Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. He replied, "It's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs." "Yes, Lord," she said, "but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." Then Jesus answered, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted," and her daughter was healed from that very hour. Here ends our text. By some calendars, we're coming to the end of the dog days. By others, we've been out of them since August 12th. All do agree that the Romans first named the dog days. They called them because of the dog star, Sirius, rises with the sun. And they believed this brightest observable star added to the heat of the sun. There's widespread belief still today that it's an unhealthy time of year. Legends say flies increase, dogs go mad, and snakes go blind. I've not experienced any of that. But the Beck Bible says our text takes place the summer of 29 AD. And the dogs certainly stand out today. Well, in the words of that 2000 song, who let the dogs out? Jesus did. His presence in this pagan region does it. Aside from his flight to Egypt as a baby, this is the only time Jesus left Palestine. The Greek shows the relationship to Jesus coming here and the woman coming out. It says, after coming out of there, Jesus withdrew into the district of Tyre and Sidon, and behold, a Canaanite woman from that region, after coming out, was crying out to the Lord. Not just the parable of coming out show a connection, but behold, a Canaanite woman does. The insert doesn't translate the behold that's there in Greek, but what's so special about a Canaanite woman in the land of Canaan? Nothing. This behold makes us look, as they say, for something extraordinary to happen here. The presence of this woman who is ignored by Jesus as one might a yapping dog brings out the disciples who act like Jesus' masters. They come up close to Jesus. And the Greek says they repeatedly asked, repeatedly implored, repeatedly requested him to send her away. The word used for their repeating asking, however, is not that of an inferior asking something of a superior, but one for asking of an equal. And notice they don't address him as Lord, and they don't really ask. They actually command him, "You must send her away." But they don't mean that Jesus just get rid of her. They want him to help her, as they've seen him do every other time someone has called to him. You can tell this is what they mean, and Jesus knows it because of his answer. "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." Who let the dogs out? Jesus does. His presence here brings a doggedness out of this mother. The insert says that her daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession. Here we picture her thrashing and howling, drooling and shouting. Maybe not. You could translate the mother saying that her daughter is basely demonized. She could be living with and in a sin, taking her down a path that even this pagan woman can recognize as bad, base, debauched. She's tried all she can to reach her, but nothing. So even when Jesus doesn't answer her a word, doesn't even look at her, even when Jesus says, "I wasn't sent to you at all," she goes around in front of him and kneels. Now the word translated by the insert, knelt, can also be translated and is translated in other places as worshiped. Now, if you're calling a person Lord, if you're asking him to deliver someone from a demon, you're coming to him in worship. Don't you feel disoriented in this dog days of a text? Is this the Jesus who says, "The one who comes to me, I will no way cast out"? Is this the Jesus who says, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest? What's Jesus doing here? Is he putting on a dog and pony show? A dog and pony show is defined as an often elaborate public relations or sales presentation, also an elaborate or overblown affair or event. Is this all just theater? It's just Jesus putting on a show in a pagan land? How else do you explain saying to a worshiping mother praying for her demonized daughter, helping you would be like helping a dog at the expense of one's own children? The part of a text that stands out, like last week, Mark telling us Jesus walking on water meant to pass by the tormented disciples, that part is often key to it. Go home and read the Road to Emmaus account. Look at Luke 24:28. There you'll find Jesus intends to go on and leave the couple to eat without him. Or read the last part of Matthew 28. There you'll find the disciples believing and doubting at one and the same time. The English translations obscure these points because they are difficult. But when left sticking out, they point out the issue. Here Jesus isn't putting on a dog and pony show. He is teaching, and the woman gets that. Jesus puts his word out there, and this woman, dog-like, goes and fetches it, and in catching it, she catches him. Again, you're going to have to search through the English translations. But Jesus does not use the ordinary word for dog, kuon, here, but the diminutive form of that word, kunaria. Kittle, who is the definitive Greek dictionary, makes this distinction. The ordinary word is used for the despised dog of the streets or yard, regarded as despicable and insolent. The diminutive is house dog, as distinct from yard dog or street dog. Some translate here little dogs, or a few even have puppies. The woman takes Jesus at his word. She confesses what he says to be true. She has a dog. And we do the same, you know. Or do you think when we confess to be poor, miserable sinners, we really mean not that bad of sinners? Or only bad here and there? Do you think we're claiming we have a right to this table? No. In fact, we're doing the direct opposite. We have no right to his body and blood. It was our sins that caused him to suffer, bleed, and die on the cross. It was our sins that caused him to be beaten beyond recognition by men and to be damned to the deepest hell by his Father for an eternity of pain. The Canaanite, worshiping at the feet of Jesus, doesn't think he's just putting on a dog and pony show. She takes him at his word. He says, "You're a little dog." She says, "Lord, I am." He says, it's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their little dogs. See where she's going to fetch Jesus from? Jesus says that the little dogs belong to the children. He says, they're dogs. And she takes him up at that precise point. Yes, Lord, but even the little dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their Lord's table. Yes, he actually uses the word lords, not masters. She has consistently called Jesus her Lord. She's claiming to be a little dog under his table. A dog's master, let alone Lord, is not just in charge of his dog, but responsible for his dog. He's responsible for its feeding, its care, and its shelter. Did you see that story in January 2016? It was heart-wrenching. A man at McKinney Falls State Park drowned trying to save his dog who had fallen into the water. The dog too died. How much more touching when the Lord of all creation jumps into the sin, the death, the devil's clawing at you, swirling around you, holding you under till you give up, give in, and drown forever. But Jesus didn't see you accidentally slip in like the man's dog did. He saw you jump headlong in to living as you please. He heard you say as you go, "I'll do it my way." And still he went in after you. He came all the way down to your flesh and blood to reach you, to pull you out of not just drowning, but damning. Don't stay in the swirling death trap that sin and devil have trapped you in. Jesus still claims to be your Lord and Master, dog that you are. And he offers you a dog's life. It's a dog's life as a 1955 movie by Disney. It's about a dog that goes from glory to wretchedness and back to glory when he's adopted by an affluent family. In other words, it's the human story found in the Bible. We start out in glory, in paradise with our Lord. We fall into wretchedness and are kicked out of paradise. Then God in Christ comes to fulfill the law we can't, die the damn death we deserve, and adopt us as his own beloved sons. It's a dog's life, and that's all this Canaanite woman wants. She is content to be a little dog under the table of her Lord, because she knows what you do. No child lets the dogs under his table go unfed. She says, even the dogs eat from the crumbs that are falling from their Lord's table. I think you can put falling in quotations, don't you? No matter how many times you tell kids, don't feed the dog from the table, they do. They stop overtly throwing or handing the dog something to eat, but oops, that fell off my plate. Yes, Lord, evermore give me the crumbs from thy table. You do realize that just a crumb of forgiveness from Jesus sends all your sins away. You do realize that a crumb from the one who is the resurrection and the life is more life than you can possibly imagine. You do realize that just a crumb from his table is more powerful than the food that the angel fed Elijah last week. If in the strength of that food, Elijah was able to travel 40 days and 40 nights to go to God's mountain, a crumb from the table of the Lord enables repentant, believing sinners to travel all the way to heaven itself. The Didache is a document which dates to the time right after Easter. It applies Jesus' words in Matthew 7:6, give not what is holy to the dogs. It applies that to the Eucharist. This is the basis for closed communion and for the pastor performing his office as a steward of the mysteries of God by admitting some and not others. A 16th century painter, Paolo Veronese, was charged with sacrilege by the Catholic Church for putting a drunkard and a dog in his painting, The Last Supper. He was ordered to change the painting, but all he did was rename it. He renamed it to Christ in the House of Levi. Here were tax collectors and sinners heeding Jesus' call to repent and believe the gospel. Only the Pharisees and scribes take issue with dogs who forsake their sins, but not their doggedness, being at the Lord's table. The woman in our text keeps the focus where it belongs, on her Lord and his word. The word Lord begins and ends the last thing she says to Jesus. Yes, Lord, even puppies eat the crumbs falling from their Lord's table. That's a dog's life, isn't it? Find, first and last, a dog's life revolves around his master, his Lord. Even in the dog's days, what dog with a loving master has ever been disappointed, ever been in need, ever been abandoned? Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.